It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can reach me at kim@kimmunson.com. And go over to Facebook. There's a lot of great stuff that we're putting up over there. And be sure and give us a like. Now, podcasts of the shows can be found at the website. With each day, there is a recap. Just click on that picture, and it'll bring up all the information, plus the podcast for the show. And then the show is also rebroadcast every evening on KLZ 560 from 10 to 11 p.m. So welcome. We've got a big day planned for you today. We will be talking with Jen Hewlin, the owner of Water's Edge Winery, in this first segment. Then Matt Durkin, who is a candidate for Jefferson County DA, we'll talk with him, as well as Thomas Baker. He's a retired FBI special agent and legal attaché, and he had a piece just recently in the Wall Street Journal about this whole Flynn case. It looks like the FBI, some of the agents there, or some of them, the people at the top, maybe weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. So he said there's a rewrite in Flynn's case shows the FBI needs some reform. You think? So we'll be talking with him about that in the third and fourth segment. Our headlines for hope that is on the website, KimMunson.com. We've been going through the story of Jody Lander, World War II veteran who fought in three of the major battles in World War II in the European theater. He jumped in behind enemy lines on D-Day, June 6, 1944, as a paratrooper. Then he also jumped in at Operation Market Garden in Holland and was at Battle of the Bulge. So fascinating stories. I think you'll really enjoy them. And Steve, I know this has been a really treat for you as we've been going through all those stories about Jody Lander.
Do we have a second to connect the dots?
Yes.
Okay, my cousin, we've been doing a lot over the last two or three years. We've been connecting things family related. Her uncle on her mother's side flew P-38s in the European theater. And if I heard you correctly the other day on Jody's story about Market Garden, they were scared to death because doing a drop, a parachute drop in the middle, you know, in broad daylight, and they would be easy targets, with the exception that the P-38 squadrons went in before them and basically just took out, you know, all the German firepower. I'm thinking, was my cousin's uncle on her mom's side one of those P-38 pilots? It's a small world.
I just got chills when you said that, very possibly. Yeah, Jody said they came in, there was towers in the North Sea. And they were coming in on Operation Market Garden across the North Sea. And he said he was so afraid because, as you mentioned, it was a daylight drop. And the Germans apparently had these anti-aircraft towers as they were coming in. And then all of a sudden the P-38s show up and they come in and they strafe those anti-aircraft positions. And for the 82nd Airborne at Market Garden, it was a picture-perfect parachute drop. So be sure and listen to those. It will give you just a great perspective. They're each 3 minutes, so it doesn't take very long. So go to my website and you can listen to those there. As we look at these issues, this is such a defining moment in America right now. We need to put our thinking caps on. There's a lot of people that have let their thinking caps go out the door. And Rudyard Kipling, who is the author of The Jungle Book, he wrote this. He said, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." So as we look at these issues, just remember to be asking all those questions. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom, or freedom versus fear, fear versus freedom. And another great quote that a colleague of mine shared just recently is, "Fear knocked at the door and truth answered, and there was no one there." And socialism ultimately comes down to force. And we're seeing a lot of socialism through this COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption reaction. And so we need to be looking at all of these different things. I want to go ahead and jump into our, I always like to say thank you. Thank you to the great team that we have, to producer Steve and Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and also each of you listeners. Today, be industrious. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Know that each of you, you're treasured and you're valued. And I appreciate each of you immensely. Our inspiration for today is by Malty Davenport Babcock. He was a noted American clergyman and writer of the 19th century. He authored the familiar hymn, "This Is My Father's World," among others. He was born in 1858 and died in 1901. And this is what he said: "Be strong. It matters not how deep entrenched the wrong, how hard the battle goes, the day how long. Faint not. Fight on. Tomorrow comes the song." And so be strong, my friends, as we're going through this defining moment in our generation, in our history of America. Our funnies, they're kind of funny and they're not, Steve. In fact, I think you sent these over to me, but I thought that they were, you know, there's a little humor in them, but there's a lot of truth in them as well. So are you ready? I think he is. I bet he's getting Jen on the phone here. So hold on. "When the state tells you it's safe to go to the Home Depot to buy a sponge, but it's too dangerous to go to the florist and buy flowers, it's not about your health. When the state shuts down millions of private businesses but doesn't lay off a single government employee, it's not about your health. When the state bans dentists because it's unsafe but deems abortion visits safe, it's not about your health."
You know, we put those in the section we call funnies, and maybe we have to laugh or we cry, but I'm not sure how much is funny there.
I'm not sure it's that funny either. However, there's a little humor in it, as how kind of dumb it is. Maybe that's what it is. It is so dumb what's going on out there right now.
Well, there's others on that list, so I hope you'll revisit that list.
I think that we will, most definitely. So, Jen on the line?
Yes, she is.
Okay, Jen Hewlin, owner of Water's Edge Winery. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you today?
I am good. How are you? You had quite an adventure yesterday.
Oh, but I feel like a murder wasp or a murder hornet. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, I think so.
Just stirring up the hive. I was open and for my third day. And gosh, do you want me to just walk through the day, or what do you want to? What do you want to know?
All right. Why don't you? I think it's really important that people understand what is going on. Okay, so go ahead and walk through that.
Okay, so I think people know now that I opened up last Friday, and so against the governor's orders, because I believe that I am just as intelligent and smart and capable as Walmart and King Soopers to keep my customers safe. I have opened up an outdoor patio, and I have social distance tables, and I'm doing the best I can to follow the CDC guidelines without letting the government of our state shut down my business. So last Friday, I got a cease and desist call from Tri-County Health, and I said thank you. And they were closed on Saturday, so it was pretty painless and quiet. But it was very busy at the winery. A lot of people with tears in their eyes saying, thank you for doing this. We're doing it for our freedom, and we're doing it for just my mental health. I needed to get out of the house. I needed to feel normal.
I just wanted to make a point. So the government employees were not working on Saturday to come and to come in, but because they're off on Saturdays, but continue on. I just wanted to make that point.
Yes. Yeah. So I knew when we reopened that we would probably be facing additional scrutiny or whatever the state had planned for us. So it was early. I was there working, trying to get payroll done, and I got a phone call from Tri-County Health. And it started out very jovial, and, I got a lot of complaints about you this weekend. And by the way, I think I'd like to know from your listeners if they can send you some information. I believe that we can there's like a Dora line or a Cora line that we can find out who ratted their neighbors out. I'd like to know that. I'd like to know who these people are that walk among us. But anyway, So we just had a conversation, and it escalated as I stood up for my rights and said, well, are you guys even planning on opening businesses back up on the 8th like you've planned or like you've mentioned? And her answer, of course, very telling, was, well, I can't really speak to that. Okay, so that's a no. And, you know, why are you doing this? And I said, well, I have every right to protect my assets and my business. This is my personal property. I have the 14th Amendment. You are not allowed to deprive me of my property without due process. And at the point where I started quoting the Constitution, she got very agitated. And, well, I'm just going to have to run this up the pole, and you'll be hearing from our lawyers. And I was like, from your lawyers? So about an hour later, I received a phone call, and I didn't take the call because I was busy, but my girls took a message, and it was an investigator from the Attorney General's office, which, of course, set my heart throbbing and feeling, you know, like I had done something horribly wrong. And they're bringing down the big guns, right? They're coming after me with the top law enforcement in our state. And fortunately, I have a good friend named Randy Corcoran, who is a lawyer, an attorney, for constitutional attorney, and he volunteered to talk to them for me. So he came over. He was coming over anyway to support me, and he wanted to see my what I had done to social distance. So he's like, well, show me what you've got going on there, you know, so we can look at and see and have some kind of guideline. And, of course, he asked me, has the health department given you guidelines? Like, have they given you, like, if you do this, you can open? And I said, no, they haven't given us anything since back in, I think it was March, where we had to stop shaking hands, wash our hands a lot, and social distance. That's the last besides stay your butt home that we've gotten from anybody. So, you know, it's one thing if they give us some guidelines and we can at least know what we're up against or try to get back open using their guidelines, but they haven't done any of that. They've basically arbitrarily said, you cannot be open. So we called them and they basically gave me a 24-hour, I forget exactly the legal term, if you'll forgive me, but the gist of it was, if you do not comply, then you're in trouble. No, we don't know what that means, didn't give me what that trouble is, but they sent a 34-page order from the governor to Randy Corcoran last night, and with basically a cease and desist, and that's where we are. And more interestingly, I think everybody would like to know, Channel 7 did a story on me without my consent or knowledge. They had two reporters come in, sit down in my winery without masks. They had their masks off to the side, like sitting on the table, and asking a lot of questions. And at first I didn't think anything of it because a lot of people are curious and they're wondering what's going on and how come you're open, that sort of thing. But then later, Elise, my manager, came over and she said, you know, this girl's really asking some interesting questions. She goes, I bet you she's a reporter. So I went over and I said, she wanted to know, and she was kind of doing gotcha questions. Oh, like, what if I wanted to make an appointment for 8 people? Could I do that? Because we're trying to, you know, again, follow guidelines and have tables apart and do 4 tabletops of 4 for small families. And she was asking her, you know, are you upset that you don't have to wear a mask, or why aren't you wearing a mask? So it was very leading questions, and it felt very unfair. So when I called him out on it, she introduced herself. Oh, yeah, we're with Channel 7. And I basically effectively kicked him out of my winery. It was ridiculous. And I shot some B-roll, and I guess the story ran last night. So I didn't actually get to see it myself because I was working.
Yeah. And the other thing I want people to realize is you said you were working on payroll, and there is no really backfill. I know that the government's tried to do, you know, some things here through the CARES Act, but that's not long term. People need to get back to work. So how can people help you, Jen Hewlin?
Oh, my gosh. Well, if you haven't yet, go to Facebook and join the Reopen Colorado Facebook group. We are 20,000 strong right now, and that's where I'm updating everybody with what's going on. on an almost like an hourly basis. So what's going to happen today is I'm going to reopen at 3, and that's where we are. So follow there. And then, I don't know, I may need a GoFundMe page for my defense fund. So if anybody's interested in donating to that, I believe there is a gentleman trying to start one on my behalf. I find it very difficult to ask for help or put my hand out. So I'm not looking for anything from anybody. I just want to be in business. But I do appreciate the immense support and all the love coming from everybody around the state, all the way over from the Western Slope. People have been amazing.
Okay, and so go to Reopen Colorado Facebook page for updates. Jen Hewlin, thank you so much. Good luck today.
Thank you so much. And by the way, there's a couple different Reopen Colorado. The one that you're going to want to sign up to, if you haven't already, has a capital R and a capital C. There are a couple of other ones. I made the mistake originally when I was first joining, but you'll see 20,000 people on there. So join us and open your business. The best thing you can do right now, if you're a business owner and you're scared, is open with me. And let's do this together as an army instead of just, what did I say last night? I feel like I'm the fife player out front of the army while everybody's got guns drawn on me. But yeah, if we do it together, it's we've got power in numbers, folks.
We're stronger together, as they say, Jen Hewlin. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. Bye, Steve.
Have a great day. And before we go to break, another small business, these taverns and our businesses and our restaurants, we really need to make sure that we're supporting them. Hooters Restaurants is another great sponsor of mine. So be sure and go to order.hooters.com. And today is Wednesday, so it's wing day. You can buy 20 wings and get 10 for free. Lunch specials are available all day long, and kids eat free all day long as well. So go to order.hooters.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we will be talking with Matt Durkin, who is a candidate for Jefferson County DA, so stay tuned.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
How come all the pretty girls like Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. The recaps of and podcasts of the shows are there. Just click on the picture of each day, and that'll take you to all of the great information. If for some reason you want to re-listen to the show, or if you have friends and family that don't get up this early, or we do have the show rebroadcast every evening from 10 to 11 p.m. on KLZ 560. I am so excited to have on the line with me Matt Durkin. He is a candidate for Jefferson County DA, and these DA races, district attorney races, are so important. They're the last election cycle, George Soros put millions of dollars into these races. And I think sometimes everyday hardworking people don't realize how important these races are. So Matt Durkin, welcome to the show.
Kim, it's so great to be back. Thanks for having me on.
So it's been several weeks since we've talked. So a lot has happened, and we're starting to see an increase in crime in some of our communities. And it is so important for people to be able to go after their hopes and dreams, to take care of their families, to take them to the park, to take them to the soccer field as we are working to get back to being Americans, getting our businesses opened up, that we feel safe as we're doing that, have safe communities, safe from crime. So what are you seeing these days, Matt Durkin?
You're absolutely right, Kim, and I'm just so heartbroken for Jen, who was on earlier. We got to get back to normal because we're having such a huge impact in our community from this being locked down. What we're seeing is probably no surprise. We're seeing a lot of increase in crime. We're seeing an increase in burglaries. Denver has seen an increase in burglaries from the same period this year, from last year, of about 16%.
I'm sorry, Matt, how much? I couldn't hear you. How much in Denver?
16%.
Wow.
And in Boulder, that same number is an increase of 55%. And what we're seeing is an increase in some residential burglaries as people are home. So that's a very scary situation. But we're also seeing a lot of burglaries of commercial businesses as people are now becoming a little bit desperate and they're starting to do a lot more smash and grabs that we've seen for a year or two already. So we're seeing certainly an increase in crime in that way. We're seeing an increase in car thefts as well. We're seeing a 49% increase since COVID began, or since the lockdown began. We've seen an increase of car thefts of 49% in the Denver metro area alone, but certainly a huge increase around Colorado. So we're seeing a lot of car break-ins, car thefts, and what we're really concerned about is that's the crime we see. We're concerned about the crime we're not necessarily seeing, and that is we're certainly seeing a spike in domestic violence, but we're concerned about the unreported domestic violence and unreported child abuse, since a lot of those reports come through children and going to school and domestic violence survivors or victims going to work, and then there's an opportunity for services to be in place or outcries to happen. So we're very concerned about what is happening through this lockdown.
Okay, so Matt, I'm going to try to make a correlation is with this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, which has really, you know, put our economy in a real tailspin right now. It seems that there's a direct correlation between a thriving economy and a non-thriving economy. So we were doing very well before we went into this. And when people are working, when they're busy, you know, my dad always said that, you know, idle hands are the devil's workshop. I mean, somebody else said that, but he always told me that. But if people are busy and working, then they don't have time for nefarious activities. And so when people are not working and they're somewhat desperate, it seems like it goes hand in hand that crime would go up during that time, Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, the studies support it. History shows it that when there's an increase in unemployment, there's a crime rate that follows close behind. So there's an increase in crime as well. And certainly, you know, we're not disparaging anyone who is falling on hard times. Those are just statistical realities that if there's going to be a dramatic increase in unemployment, we can certainly expect an increase in crime. And there's a lot of other factors that we're expecting an increase in crime as well. And so, as we had talked about earlier, Kim, we were basically sitting on top of a crime wave that has been developing for 5 to 6 years already, with an increase in murder, violent crime, and property crime. That was before this lockdown occurred. We are basically looking at a crime wave on top of that crime wave that's developing right now.
Okay, so now, Matthew, your election, your race, people will vote in November. Is that right? You'll be on the ballot in November?
Yes, exactly right. So I'll be on the ballot in November against a Democrat opponent at this point, which remains to be seen.
Okay, so these are very important races, though. How can people help you, Matthew Durkin?
We need all the help anybody can offer, and I know that times are tough, so anything that anyone can offer would be so appreciated, but all of our candidates are being outraised by a significant degree. So please go to durkinforda.com. That's durkinforda.com, and offer anything that you can, $5, $10, $50, up to $400. And you can also go there to register to volunteer as well.
Okay, so as we are coming out of this this crazy disruption that we've had, I think that it used to be Matthew Durkin that I heard people say, I'm not into politics. But we can now see that politics is into you. And I am seeing, in fact, Patty, my researcher, was talking to a small business person yesterday who, you know, probably was somewhat political ambivalent and probably leaned to the left, was the description that, I'd received. And she is all of a sudden realizing that, you know, that these elections matter when you have government that can come in and shut down your business, your livelihood. That's something to be really concerned about. It's gotten people's attention. So these races are really, really important. So, again, would encourage people to help you. And that is, again, the website one more time, Matthew.
Yes, it's durkinforda.com. That's D-U-R-K-I-N-F-O-R-D-A.com.
Okay, Matthew Durkin, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks. Greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kim.
Okay, and on the line with me now is Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. You know him. He's always telling us what's happening out there. But one thing, Jason McBride, you've been over to Jen's Winery. We did a great little event there one evening, and of course, the Vino and Veritas. So it's a great little business.
Oh, I've been there several times. Jen's really wonderful, and the food is fantastic, made by the world-famous Chef D.
Yes, and so it's going to be interesting watching what's happening there. What about the market? Is it going to be interesting today, Jason McBride?
Well, it's interesting most every day anymore. Yesterday, Kim, we kind of looked like we were off for a big moonshot at the beginning of the day, but the markets kind of steadily gave back gains throughout the day. We still ended positive on the Dow, about 133 up, but that was after giving up about half of the gains. Again, that's not surprising. We've had a pretty big up move from the bottom. You're going to expect to see some profit taking come in. And yesterday's action didn't smack of panic selling or anything even close to it. This morning, it looks like we're going to have at least a slightly higher open. Kim, the futures are up about 100 on the Dow right now. As I always like to say, it's a long time until the market opens, a full hour, so the picture could change by then.
Okay, and so one thing about this, we talk about this just, you know, on the daily basis, but there's things that people can do long term, and I know that you really like these Roth IRAs, and so there's, I think, an interesting strategy that if somebody has a stock that they like and it's kind of been kicked around, there might be something creative that they could do right now. Could you share that with our listeners, please, Jason?
Well, yeah, Kim, if someone owns a stock or a fund or an investment that they feel has been beaten down, eventually it's going to make a roaring comeback. Well, why not convert it to a Roth while the price is low? If you own that investment in a traditional IRA, remember, you don't have to convert your whole IRA. You don't have to sell the stock to convert it. You can just transfer it from an IRA into a Roth without selling. So that can go over intact. If you call it right and it makes a roaring comeback someday, well, then after a few years waiting period, all of that money you converted plus the earnings would be completely federally and in almost all cases state tax-free as well.
Seems like a smart strategy. So if people want to explore that further, I suggest they give you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management a call. That number is 303-694-1600, like 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, where the president lives, hence Presidential Wealth Management. So it's 303-694-1600. That was pretty smart how you got that phone number.
Yeah, I don't know how much we had to pay somebody off to get that, but it worked.
It works. So, Jason McBride, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Have a great show, Kim.
Okay, and go to our website together. That's airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. And the guys and gals over at Presidential can help you out there. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I am so excited to talk with Thomas Baker. He is a retired FBI special agent and legal attaché, and he's written a piece in the Wall Street Journal, Rewrite, and Flynn's case shows FBI needs some reform. And so we're going to go to break. When we come back, Thomas Baker.
Predovich and Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich and Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich and Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich and Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich and Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, Kim Munson. That's MUNSON.com. You could email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Appreciate it if you go over to Facebook, The Kim Munson Show. Give us a like. And for those of you that may want to re-listen to the show or have friends and family that don't get up this early, a couple of other opportunities, you can go to my website, and we have recaps of the show. It has a picture there. Just click on that. That'll take you to the complete recap, as well as it'll have the podcast in there so you can re-listen to that. And then the show is rebroadcast on KLZ 560 every evening from 10 to 11 p.m. Very excited to have on the line with me Thomas Baker. He is a retired FBI special agent and legal attaché, and he's an international law enforcement consultant. He served for over 33 years as an FBI special agent in a variety of positions dealing with terrorist and criminal challenges. He's been published in many different periodicals, the Wall Street Journal, The Hill, Washington Examiner, The Daily Caller, and has been on the Fox News Channel, Fox Business, MSNBC, as well as being featured in segments of CNN's Crimes of the Century and NBC's Dateline. He's currently a member of the National Sheriff's Association Cybersecurity Working Group, and he serves as a director of CEI, that's Cyber Examiners and Investigators, and NCIP, the National Cyber Investigators Program. And you can follow Tom at on Twitter at Bake Associates. That's Bake Associates. Thomas Baker, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Kim. Glad to be with you again.
So last Thursday, we learned, while, you know, everybody's paying attention over here to the COVID-19 whole thing, there's important things that are happening in Washington. And it was revealed that the FBI, what they had used to actually bring charges against General Flynn, that there was some, I kind of call it nefarious stuff that was going on. Set this up for our listeners. What happened, Thomas Baker?
Well, what happened was, there's several troubling things about this. To go back a little bit, if you would like, there was a spinoff investigation of General Flynn, as well as Carter Page and two or three other individuals, with came out of the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, which was the overall counterintelligence investigation of the Trump campaign. And that's an important distinction, that was a counterintelligence investigation. In December, shortly before the new administration came in, December 2016, there was the FBI of Washington field office that tried to close the General Flynn matter. And by the way, all the new documents about this are available online if someone wants to take the effort and look at that. And it was a very clear closing memo, and essentially said there's absolutely no indication whatsoever that General Flynn was in any way an agent or in an alliance with the Russians. Peter Strzok, who everybody has heard about now, wanted that case kept open. And they went ahead, and ultimately it turned into a criminal investigation.
Okay. And so then what happened from there? So just to make sure people understand this, that investigation that General Flynn had been a Russian agent, they found nothing there. It should have been closed. Peter Strzok kept it open. So then what happened, Thomas Baker?
Okay, so the closing memo of the case is available online. It was one of the documents that Jeff Jensen and Bill Barr made available to just last week to Flynn's defense attorneys. What happened then, there was a meeting, which it looks like Comey himself, who's referred to in Strzok and Lisa Page's text as D, deep short for director, they had a meeting and decided to go interview Flynn in the White House. Now, that was after the counterintelligence case had been attempted to be closed. This was in January, in the late January, two or three days after the inaugural. So now Trump is the president of the United States. General Flynn's his national security advisor. And they're going ahead to attempt to interview him. Now, that to me is very, very, very significant, because in the past, and this is what I'm most concerned about, the FBI under Judge Webster or Louis Freeh would be very reticent and very careful about entering into a politically sensitive matter, interfering with another branch of government. But in this case, it appears from all the documents that it was rather cavalier. McCabe called up General Flynn, told him two guys were going to come over and talk to him. They went over and talked to him. Now, what's been revealed now are the handwritten notes, we believe, of Bill Prestop, who didn't really have a big role in this thing. And he was questioning, why are we doing this? What is our objective?
Well, and those handwritten notes, that is something that has just recently been revealed. And so do they keep these notes? I mean, how did they find this handwritten note?
Well, that question remains, but in Bill Barr, just only about 2 months ago, commissioned a U.S. attorney, Jeff Jensen, to look into specifically the Flynn aspect of Crossfire Hurricane. As a lot of people know, he already has U.S. attorney John Durham looking into the overall investigation, the origin of the overall investigation. Jeff Jensen is like Barr, in my opinion, a very responsible character. Jensen himself was an FBI agent back in the 80s and 90s for 10 years, then became an assistant U.S. attorney for another 10 years, then was in private practice, and only in the past year or so was appointed the United States attorney for St. Louis, Eastern District of Missouri. So Jensen, in his investigation, found these notes as well as these additional texts, which he, as I said at the outset, he provided to General Flynn's defense team. Now, all of that happened last week, the documents being provided. They're up online, and it lays out this very troubling pattern. And in the end, as we all know now, General Flynn was charged in a criminal matter, one charge of lying to the FBI, which is a violation of Section 1001 of Title 18 of the U.S. Criminal Code.
Okay, so first thing, you said that these documents are up online. Where can people find those documents, Thomas Baker, if they wanted to do that?
Just search General Flynn. Just search Jeffrey Jensen. You'll find them. They're there. There's links to them. There's three or four other people, at least commentators, have put the whole thing up online, so it's very easy to find the documents. What's specifically troubling to me is this charge, because in the past, and it's a very controversial charge, in the past it's actually been used rather judiciously, and when I say in the past, I mean for the past half century, and the FBI agents have used this charge, which people and Sidney Powell, his General Flynn's defense attorney refers to it as a process crime because it's not a substantive crime. Lying to the FBI has been used, I won't say routinely, but from time to time by many FBI agents around the country in many criminal investigations as a way to prod people to be forthcoming, to put it frankly, to get people to tell the truth. So it's been a tool to get people to tell the truth. You remind them, especially witnesses as well as suspects, if you lie, you know, that's a crime and you're in trouble. And it helps to bring out the truth. That's been how it's been used. It's seldom a charge standing on its own. And over the years, there's been a number of FBI agents who have been very frustrated by this. You know, they're just frustrated somebody's lied to them. They go to an assistant U.S. attorney and present this case. And the response you most often get from anywhere in the country is the assistant U.S. attorney will say, well, everybody lies. And they're not going to take this to federal court because some witness who's a friend, a girlfriend, a business associate of some a buddy who's under suspicion told a lie. And the agent winds up pounding the desk and is very upset. And it's seldom ever used as a charge standing on its own. In celebrity cases, some U.S. attorneys around the country have kind of piled on, if you will, and added as an extra charge. And that's when you see it most often in these so-called celebrity cases. This was true with Bernie Madoff, Martha Stewart. They throw that charge on, but they only really throw it on when they have this underlying substantive charge, you know, whatever it be, bank fraud, mail fraud, whatever.
Okay, so you know what? Let's do. Let's go to break, Thomas Baker. I have several questions. I think okay. Many people may have seen the video of Comey, FBI Director Comey, where he's asked, "Well, how did it happen that these FBI agents went over to the White House to talk to Flynn?" And he famously says, "I sent them." And so I found that interesting from your perspective. I want to hear what you have to say about it. We're going to go to break. This is Kim Munson, The Kim Munson Show. I'm talking with Thomas Baker. He is a retired FBI special agent and legal attaché, and I want to hear what he has to say about Comey sending these agents over to the White House to talk to Flynn. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Thrilled to have on the line with me Thomas Baker. He is a retired FBI special agent and legal attaché. We're talking about this whole General Flynn case. There was new information that came out last Thursday. Some handwritten notes had been found. And on that, it looks, at least from what I can tell, Thomas, that they were trying to set Flynn up. And so Comey sends him over. I mean, is that too strong a words to say that they were trying to set him up?
I would not use that word, but a lot of people had. It's very questionable what the objective was, and the handwritten notes indicate that somebody in that meeting, they were wondering, what is the point here? Because they had already determined that he was not in collusion with the Russians. They were going to close the counterintelligence case. What they came out of that meeting was a criminal charge, and I keep making that distinction because it is important, and it's almost bizarre what happened. And they used this section 1001, the charge of lying to the FBI. And what's a shame about that is in the past that section was used to get at the truth. Here it was used apparently and clearly appears this way to create a lie, to get someone to trick them into a lie. So rather than getting at the truth, they're using it to create a lie, and that's a total perversion of the whole purpose, and a departure from past practice and past history, and that's what concerns me and a lot of others.
So what is the lie that they said that they accuse him of?
Well, it's rather narrow. He knew they were talking to him about a phone conversation he had with Ambassador Kislyak. Now, here's the other thing, and this is a little bit of background. Kislyak, who was the Russian ambassador up to the first year or two of Trump's administration, had been the Russian ambassador to Washington for over 14 years. And before that had been a Russian ambassador to the UN in New York. So he was very well known to key people in the USA. He was a very well-known personality. He would go to all the cocktail parties at all the other embassies around Washington. I venture to say that probably 90 of the 100 U.S. senators have met him because they're all at these same cocktail parties. So he was very well known. And as Flynn, having previously been very involved in intelligence matters in previous administrations, he knew very well, and it is a secret, but everybody knows it, that Kislyak's phone calls were almost all monitored. So he even said in the course of the interview to the agents, when they kept trying to ask him about what he particularly said to Ambassador Kislyak, he said, well, you undoubtedly know. He said that during the conversation. So there were some technical points that he missed, or they thought later he misled them. If I may say, this is another point of background, which is more bizarre about this. The agent who from the Washington Field Office who accompanied a Deputy Assistant Director, Peter Strzok, to this interview made the notes and wrote up his FD-302, his account of the interview. We now know from these new documents that Strzok completely rewrote that, and those are his words, completely rewrote the interviewing agent's account of the interview, and then he was aided in that, and we have the text messages, they're damned by their own words, by Lisa Page. Lisa Page was not at the interview. Lisa Page is not an agent, yet she had a role in altering the account of the interview. That's very unusual. That's contrary to past practice in the FBI.
Okay.
That's alarming.
Well, and so are you saying, and I think I know the answer, but I'm asking it, that Peter Strzok was one of those two agents that went to visit General Flynn at the White House. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And that in itself is unusual because he's in a very high executive position. And it turns out, clearly, he's one of two or three people right up there under Comey who are running this whole thing. He should be in a position of reviewing the work. Instead, he's actually out doing the work. And that's just bad management and leads to these mistakes because you have a lack of oversight and a lack of review.
Okay, so Thomas, how did you find out that Strzok has rewritten the notes from that meeting? So there's two of them there. The other guy, the other agent, has actually written all the notes regarding the meeting. How did we find out that Strzok changed that?
We found out from their own words in these documents that Jensen found and were made public last week on two different batches when he provided them to Sidney Powell and the other defense attorneys for General Flynn. It's in their own words, in the text messages between that haven't text messages that previously were not available between Lisa Page and Deputy Assistant Director Peter Strzok. They talk about this altering, rewriting the FD-302 of the other agent. Now, and that, if I could, just for a second, the FD-302 is supposed to be the something that may be testimonial. So when an agent comes across something that may later be testimonial, he prepares this form FD-302, and it's his own recollections of what he saw and what he heard. And nobody else is supposed to change that, because you can't, because you weren't there. And yet we have them changing and manipulating this thing. Totally, really out of order altogether, and very alarming the way this whole thing was handled.
Okay, so they now have, so they've changed that. First of all, that seems to me like that's lying, but they have accused General Flynn of lying, and it's just one count, and it's a procedural, it's a process crime, if you will. But my understanding then is that they threatened him, that they were going to prosecute his son. And I've been trying to find out what that was exactly. It looks like they were in business together. You know, being accused of something and have to lawyer up to protect yourself against government charges. Government has unlimited funds regarding, you know, a legal matter, whereas an individual, my understanding is that General Flynn, it was been a real financial hardship to just fight this, but that he went ahead and did this. A deal was struck to protect his son. Can you speak to that, Thomas?
Well, the aspect of it, that this pressure to protect his son, I've heard the same accounts, and I've read that second and third hand in news account. I don't know the actual mechanics of it, but there was only this one charge. And my concern was just how irregular this was. Now, I talked about them changing the actual account of the interview. What gets even more bizarre is that the FD-302 that ultimately was provided in court, in Federal District Court in the District of Columbia, was not the one that the two of them prepared of their interview on that day in January, but was an interview of Peter Strzok by Mueller's team about 6 months later, where they asked Strzok about it, the agents and attorneys working for Mueller. Strzok relates his recollection of it from months earlier, and that FD-302 of Strzok's recollections is what was provided to the court, not the actual 302 of Strzok's interview of General Flynn at the time. It is so irregular and so out of good practice, it's just absolutely shocking.
It is shocking what you're describing here. So what happened to that original 302? Why was that not presented? It's probably the million-dollar question, huh?
I don't know. And in these recent documents, from my review of them, it doesn't make that clear. But that is what happened.
Okay, so we've got just a couple of minutes left here, Thomas Baker. So what is it that our listeners should know that is important moving forward? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, what I, from my point of view, there's two different things. Number one, what a lot of people are concerned about is the General Flynn case and what's going to happen to him, and will the judge throw the whole case out now? That's one incident in history. What I'm concerned about is this cultural change that's happened in the FBI as since September 11th. It got more into this intelligence world, and people play fast and loose with the truth. Excuse me. And this manipulating of the FD-302, this misuse of 1001, all of these things that Jeff Jensen has discovered. Now, what else is important is the hopefulness. Bill Barr, I have a lot of confidence in. He was Attorney General in the early 90s when the FBI was really the pure truth-driven law enforcement agency that were truth seekers, and Barr's used to that, and he worked closely with the FBI. And the guy he has looking at the Flynn case is Jeff Jensen, who, as I say, had been an FBI agent in his case back in the 90s. He's a truth seeker himself. Everybody who worked with him that I've talked to describes him as someone of great character. So Barr and his team, I hope, will get to the bottom of this, and I hope there will be reform and that the FBI will be restored to the kind of agency that most Americans appreciated and counted on.
Well, Thomas Baker, thank you so much for shedding light on this. You are a retired FBI special agent, legal attaché, and people can find you on Twitter at Bake Associates, at Bake Associates. Thomas Baker, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. Have a great day.
And our quote, you bet, our quote today is Mauby Davenport Babcock. And he says, the workshop of character is everyday life. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.